it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
G'day, it's James here. Thanks very much for pressing play on this episode. Just a quick note before we get underway. I've had some internet issues. I'm close to the track and it seems to be quite difficult to get things set up here for this episode. So you'll only hear me for a little bit before I drop out. Freya is then taking over, but she's outside of her usual recording setup because she's just landed in from Cayman and Campy is still out in Gippsland. So this is the first episode of this week that you'll hear. It will sound a little different. The rest of the episodes will sound the usual beautiful way, which is, of course, why you listen to Lakeside Drive. Make sure you are subscribed to us, by the way, on social media, because we'll be doing as much as we can from around the track. And if you're going to the track, I didn't get a chance to say this towards the end of the podcast, but if you see me, please say g'day. I will be doing some commentary around the place and also walking around. So please say g'day, get my attention, introduce yourself. It would be fantastic to meet you wherever you are trackside. I hope you have a fantastic Australian Grand Prix week. We're really excited for our home Grand Prix, so let's get into this episode.
And now it's time for the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. Here are your hosts and my supreme leaders, James Baldwin, Campy, and Freya Brolsma.
The season gets underway properly as we go to the first round of the year. Yes, the Australian Grand Prix is coming up and there are many, many Australians racing. Just ask all of the advertising for the Australian Grand Prix. Yes, we have Daniel Ricciardo, Valtteri Bottas and Oscar Piastri. And for some reason on an F1 official page, Charles Leclerc as well, the honorary Australian. But to preview all of the action in Australia with me, James, are my friends and yours, Thomas J. Camp. G'day, mates.
G'day, boys. And Freya, sorry, I didn't mean that. How are you? It's good to see you. James.
Oh. And what a favorite, start. Our favourite other boy, Freya. Hello.
Yeah, hello. No worries.
Unbelievable.
The good week start of the year that I have to be the most professional, I've just failed miserably on the first thing I said. Bloody hell.
Would not expect anything less from you, sir. Let's look, the Australian Grand Prix is this weekend. Very exciting. Lots of things going on. We're all going to be very busy, which is good. I thought we'd start with overarching Melbourne vibes. It's not going well for either of us. Freya, you flew in yesterday morning. What did you notice on your way through Melbourne Airport? Is there a massive amount of fanfare for the Grand Prix around the place?
Do you know what? There wasn't. There was some people, there was probably a bit more merch around, like people wearing hats and things like that, than otherwise you probably would have noticed. And just some random things I did notice, actually, like as you come through that arrivals exit, there was some guy just like putting a model Mercedes Formula One car with George Russell inside. He's like switching his stuff around from checked luggage to carry on and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. There was just some little moments like that where you see like an 80-year-old with a model car sitting outside arrivals. So yeah, there's some funny little anecdotes like that. But for the most part, it was actually pretty quiet. But I think that's potentially because I arrived precisely 2 hours after Charles Leclerc and a lot of the other drivers yesterday morning. So I think I probably was a bit late to the party when it comes to the arrivals area and anything interesting going on there. But this afternoon I'm going to head down to the Williams fan zone area and go down to the city and see what's going on, because I think that's when we'll start to very much feel the Grand Prix in a way that I was more feeling the jet lag when I arrived.
Yes, I might come with you for that, by the way, because Fed Square is a good activation space for Formula One. Campy, you're not here yet. There is no need really for the Australian Grand Prix to do any advertising whatsoever because they've sold every single ticket. If you want a ticket, too bad. That's what they've said. Also, by the way, quick shout out to Freya, who did an excellent interview with Tom Mottram from the Australian Grand Prix Corporation last week. So do yourself a favour and go and listen to that. He dropped some interesting stuff, which was really, really interesting to hear and to see what's going on. Very quickly, whilst I think of it, Matt Walker has set up a watch along. If you don't have tickets to the Grand Prix at the Coppersmith Hotel in South Melbourne, I think that's on Clarendon Street from 11:30. I don't have the invite in front of me. Sorry, Matt, but here's your shout out anyway. You asked for it. Here it is. He set it up. So it's a good vibe there on the rooftop. As we know, Campy and I and the host formerly known as Tommy T have been there a couple of times during the Grand Prix weekend, and it's a good vibe. Campy, I will ask you this, though. How excited are you for a Benetton to be driven by our boy Jack Doohan?
Oh, geez, I'm looking forward to this one. This is going to be excellent. Oh, look, last time we saw that colour scheme driving around Albert Park was, 2006? So with Fernando Alonso and Giancarlo Fisichella. So, excited. It's great for Jack. I think it's a great publicity for the team as well. They need as much as that they can get at the moment. We've talked about their struggles pretty a lot in the first two episodes. Oh, it's great for Jack. It's good. I think he's doing something with his dad too. Mick Doohan's going to be racing one of his Repsol Honda 500cc World Championship bikes too. So, yeah, look, great. It's great. It's a celebration of Australian motorsport and the history and some of our past world champions and hopefully one of our future world champions. So, it's exciting. I think the sound's going to be incredible. If you don't have earplugs for that, I think you need them. You'll be able to hear those cars from way across the other side of the city and probably the West Gate too, which is, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be the highlight of the weekend, I think.
I want to talk a little bit now, if we can, about Danny Ric. Can't believe that we have to defend Daniel Ricciardo the most, but as the podcast who loves him the most, let's combat everyone on TikTok who is an idiot, Campy. Why is Daniel Ricciardo absolutely fine? Why is DR safe in his seat?
All right. Well, look, can I just say a lot of this heat is coming from Mr. Jacques Villeneuve. Now, the biggest wanker in motorsport, in my opinion, is that Canadian dipshit. Your music is as bad as what your driving was, mate. Now, I know you're a world champion, but every now and then we have a race in Formula One that pops up where an unexpected driver gets a win because of sheer circumstances that play out, red flags, crashes, the whole field comes out, and you win a race. Well, every 50 years or so, we get a world champion like Jacques Villeneuve who finds himself right place, right time, right car, against Schumacher in the Benetton, I think, which if Schumacher was in that car you were in, JV, he would have had that championship wrapped up in six races. The fact that it took you to the last race to do it just proves what a dickhead and shit driver you really are. So he can keep his mouth shut. Alan Jones this week's come out and criticised our boy Danny Ric. The reality is race one was pretty good for Danny Ric against Tsunoda. They qualified fairly close. I think it was only a tenth and a half in it. And then the race pace, well, we had that disastrous happenings at the end of the race and post-race between Yuki and Daniel. But Daniel clearly had better race pace and better strategy overall and got the win. Last week, clearly managing issues, 51-second pit stop, and the team came out afterwards and said, yes, we found a massive, massive problem with his car. Hence why he couldn't drive within a second and a half of his teammate on the lap. Now, I know Danny Ric has struggled throughout the last couple of years, but the reality is he's never been that slow. So how do we defend Danny Ric? Danny Ric will come out and absolutely tear the Australian Grand Prix apart this weekend. He'll be in the points. He'll qualify in the top 10, and he will dominate his teammate, and he will come out afterwards and give the big finger to absolutely everyone that is denying him. And if this Max Verstappen, Joss Verstappen, Christian Horner thing plays out how it should, Max will quit the team mid-year. Horner will still have control of Red Bull. Danny Ric will get elevated, win the last 15 races, and go on to be world champion this year. So that's how we're yeah. And if you don't believe me, you want to know how shit Jacques Villeneuve's music is, just go and check it out on YouTube. Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And he looks like Moby, but older.
Look, the other place as well that we're seeing this kind of hate, let's call it, which really annoys me, is in the comments as well. So for any opinion that is posted either to YouTube or Instagram, whatever it might be, is in the comments. And I just get so frustrated because it is not only just an absolute cesspit of negativity and everything else that is wrong with the internet as a whole, but they're also just, they're ignoring so much information. And this is what frustrates me about some of the kind of, I want to say, opinions out there that people feel they need to kind of vocalize, is that it's ignoring half the data. So if you look at last weekend, put very simply, you just go, oh, wait a second. We're all going on about Daniel Ricciardo, but Tsunoda finished one place ahead of him, which was, by the way, significantly further back from where he qualified. So why aren't we talking about the fact that Yuki dropped all of these places in his race rather than the fact that Daniel had a 50-second pit stop and, you know, the rest is kind of history? It just seems to me to be so people just looking for a reason, for explanations I don't have, to try and bring him down. So it's extremely frustrating to see. What I think is important for people to know is that we on Lakeside Drive will never be doing that, for Daniel Ricciardo, but also for other drivers as well. There's not this need to just absolutely bring them down without looking at the broader performance of teams, like even the individuals who we might not have a personal taste for. You'll still hear us say, look, he's a good driver, but this is why I don't think he'll be world champion or anything else for any drivers. Let's move on. Ollie Bearman has been photographed. He's having a great time down in Hosier Lane, I think, with most of the other drivers, obviously having some photos taken with those very famous street art laneways all through Melbourne. Obviously, he's here for his own championship, and he has said that his focus is back on Formula 2. Do you think that we might see him? We haven't heard much from either him or signs in terms of, I suppose, preparation for this weekend and what might have been going into that. What do you reckon we might see?
Look, I think Ollie would be optimistic to get a drive this weekend. I think we saw Carlos during the race last week. He was up and about with the team. 7 days to recover from that injury, I think, is more than substantial, and surgery. I mean, they're pretty good with technology, and the doctors are great these days. I think he'll be driving. It just, the only thing that concerns me is if he gets in the car at practice one and just the loads on that area of his stomach are just too much, and he's feeling some pain. So we won't know that until he gets into the car after free practice one on Friday. So we'll see what happens. Ollie, he should be focused on F2. He's done a lot for his stocks in Formula 1 off that drive. That was a name probably 2 or 3 years ago that everyone sort of expected to do a bit better than what he had done up until that point. Failed to win a championship in F2, but, you know, still had that Ferrari junior drive and performed really well at times. And, you know, to get a drive in F1, it's his dream. But he did really, really well at a high level. So things like opportunities come up in life sometimes, and he took his opportunity, and geez, he performed well. So I think there'll be a lot of other teams that are looking at him as a genuine contender to take a seat next year.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think as much as he was a name that was kind of, you know, thrown around a little bit, he hasn't necessarily stood out in the way of kind of like marking his territory in Formula 2 in the way that he might have hoped by this stage of his career. But I think what it does really well in terms of his performance, obviously last race, is that it shows how good the F2 training program, if you want to call it that, for Formula 1 actually is. The fact that he was able to be so ready so quickly is a pretty good testament to, you know, the preparation that they're getting in Formula 2. You know, if they were miles off the mark in terms of how they were learning, you know, to progress within their racing ability and skills and career, you wouldn't be able to make that transition so quickly. It would be too great a jump to be able to actually have reserve drivers who are sitting there. And instead, you'd have kind of ex-Formula One drivers or other people who might have had smaller stints but who know what they're doing in F1. So I think it's a really positive thing for F2 generally to have seen him be able to make that jump so well as obviously for his own career and putting his name out there very firmly in the ring when it comes to seat contenders for next year. He's not the only person we're talking about this weekend, though. As you said, we've got Jack Doohan, who'll be there with his dad doing those demonstration laps. And we've also got our Aussies in F3 as well. I want to speak to you, Campy, about what it means as an Australian to see so many Aussies on the grid, either in those junior categories, but also with our three Australians in Formula One. What does it mean to you as somebody who's been watching motorsport forever and a day? Even little baby Campy in his beanie was watching motorsport and still someone who loves it. What does it mean to you to see so many Australians lining up?
Oh, look, you asked me that question. The first thing I think of is 7 or 8 years ago, I saw Mark Webber do an interview, and right at the end of his interview, he said, you know, we've got real slim pickings for Australians in the top tier of motorsport, not just in F1, but MotoGP and some of the motocross and supercross that I follow too. And he talked about how he wanted to build that back up. Now, since that's happened, we've had Jack Miller come into MotoGP and Oscar Piastri, Danny Rick. Danny Rick was there, but these juniors coming up, we had the Tasmania-sponsored car in F3 a couple of years ago too. And look, for me, it's exciting because as a country and as a nation and our identity, I suppose that national identity is that underdog that we'll get the job done. Doesn't have to be the biggest, you know, we don't have to have the biggest budget, doesn't have to be splashy, but we'll just show up and compete just on pure heart and get the job done because that's who we are. Now, when you put that in terms of motorsport, it doesn't really work like that. But I just love seeing young kids getting opportunities, and it's, you know, I think what Webber and these guys have done post their careers is they've set up genuine pathways for success for the best of the crop, the junior crop in Australia, to go to Europe and race over there. We've seen what Scott McLaughlin has done and Shane Van Gisbergen going to America. But they're established professional drivers. If they had been doing that when they were 17, 18 with paths, you know, genuine paths, who knows what their careers could have looked like instead of racing in V8 supercars. Now, V8 supercars is a destination sport still for races across the world, but, you know, Europe is the hub of, you know, the fast thing anyway, and then the other side of it is America. So I just love seeing these kids do it. They get to live out their dream, and, you know, I love that underdog spirit, and I think everything that Mark Webber encompassed, his story, you know, that true grit, that Aussie grit, that's the title of his book too, just to get him where he got, to end up in a team that was, you know, a world championship winning car, to miss out on a world championship by 5 points in the last race of the season, you know, that just encompasses everything about, you know, not just Mark and his career, but, you know, that Aussie fighting spirit too. So there's a legacy that these guys are left, and what Mark has done for this sport and the pathways post that has been incredible. And I don't think we'll fully ever understand it unless we're in it, but it's exciting. I do genuinely love seeing Aussies perform well. So
yeah, absolutely.
As much as we're different, we're still brothers and sisters, and you know,
yeah. You heard it here first. It's family first from Campy when it comes to Australians in Formula One.
Campy Bot here. Sorry to interrupt, but it's time for an ad break. I need to save up for some more digital beanies.
A massive thank you to NordVPN for sponsoring this episode of Lakeside Drive in the week of the Australian Grand Prix. Yes, it's finally here. It's finally happening. We are very excited for our home Grand Prix. And if you're visiting from anywhere in the country or overseas, or even if you're local, if you need to get into a Wi-Fi hotspot at the track, or if a cafe, or at a hotel, then make sure you protect yourself online whilst you're doing it. And there's only really one VPN to use, that is, of course, NordVPN. And here at Lakeside Drive, we have been using NordVPN well before they even got in touch with us, asking to sponsor this episode. So make sure you go to nordvpn.com/lakesidedrive. There you will get a 2-year plan with 4 months absolutely free. And the great news is there's a 30-day money-back guarantee too. So no matter where you are in the world, if you want to watch content from an Australian point of view or an Irish point of view, you can do it using NordVPN. Go to nordvpn.com/lakesidedrive right now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's great to see. I think there is an element of as well, I think, just bringing it home for us. You know, we can love the sport, but it's very different when you are watching people from Australia in comparison to all of the Brits, the Germans, the Austrians, the Finns, the Danes. You know, to have your own representation as from the country is super, super special. So good luck to Christian Mansell and Tommy Smith in particular this weekend in Formula 3, as well as obviously our Formula One representatives, of course. And in that, we do have Valtteri Bottas, who has been down in Adelaide doing some great crowd engagement and community work down there. We love seeing what he does when he comes to Australia. He does more for Australian kind of engagement in motorsport than half the Australians do. It's really quite impressive, and he seems to do it in a really authentic way. Like, it is truly Australian, and he just seems to really love it. Obviously, he's got Tiffany supporting him along the way as well, which is super exciting to see. As James mentioned at the start, it was quite intriguing that Charles Leclerc was that fourth person who they decided was the next most Australian person to put on there, which I wouldn't necessarily agree with.
Nope.
Which is a bit of
zero
a,
comparison.
Bit of a, exactly, a bit of a bizarre choice, but here for it anyway. Let's talk about what else is going on this weekend and what else you're looking forward to, Campy. As James said earlier, there's so much going on outside of the Formula One racing. What else are you looking forward to seeing once you get yourself into the city?
Oh, Friday for me is the day. Friday is my favourite day. You get 2.5 hours of on, 2 hours of on track now. You used to get 3 with the hour and a half sessions being reduced down to an hour, but you get 2 hours of on track F1. But it's the day that, you know, you get all the support, every support category races. I know they race on Saturday and Sunday too, but it's the day that it's not as busy. Although this year, you know, with every ticket being sold possible, you know, that's great. So, yeah, look, really excited. Going to check out some different parts of the track. My favourite spot of the track is turn 3 after the chicane on after the straight. You know, they're going 310k an hour, blind into a corner, braking at 70 metres and coming out the other side at 80 kilometres an hour. It's good to watch. Geez, the sounds are not as good as what they used to be, but that's, you know, those 2 1-hour sessions on Friday are the greatest for me. As for the rest of the week, well, Frey, we got a nice little pad that we are staying in Wednesday, so it's going to be good. We got heaps of pubs locally, so it's going to be good to hang out and, you know, do some stuff. We've got some interviews lined up, and look, James has left us because he's got some internet problems, but it's going to be the James Baldwin show this weekend. He is front and center of just about everywhere he can be this week, so he's excited. So we're going to have to keep his ego a bit in check, and, you know,
I reckon we've got that covered though, Campy. I mean, I will say,
look, he's not that. He's not that bad. He's fine. He's fine.
Look, we can say nice things about him because he's not here. Obviously, we'd never say this to James's face, but it is a pretty big weekend for him, and he's going to do an exceptional job. We're obviously both really excited for him. So, lead commentator. Yeah. For Porsche, as well as a bunch of other stuff, basically everything that's got F1, you'll see him there. So keep your eye out and your ears out for James's very familiar voice. For anybody who is listening to Lakeside Drive right now, tune in to all the other on track and off track kind of support and events that are going on, and you'll probably see James's ugly mug all over it. So very excited, and like you said, Campy, we'll keep his feet on the ground. I reckon we've got that covered.
And I know it's easy to rag on him. I love it. It's one of my favourite things to do. It is genuinely exciting for me, and I presume I speak for Freya as well, that it's exciting to be a part of other people's success and dreams. And however little or small that part looks like, I'm stoked to see that guy doing what he's doing, because he's worked bloody hard for it behind the scenes, and I am just coming in on his coattails, really. I'm not sure about you, Freya. You bring a bit more professionalism to this. This outfit, but no, it's genuinely exciting to see for Jim, so we'll be nice to him. All right, let's get over that.
That's enough nice stuff. See, I can't even say it. We've said too many nice things already. So this weekend, let's talk about the race and some predictions and what we are thinking. So far, the forecast has it as a cooler, dry race. Obviously, favourite thing to say about Melbourne, four seasons in a day. It could change very quickly. It's pretty close to the bay here, so it can be quite kind of gusty in sections with that wind coming off the bay area. And it can kind of, obviously, as we saw last weekend, both races so far, that can really impact the racing and how each car behaves, what the attitude of the car is like. New vocabulary for us. I'm definitely the professional one here, Campy, could be very interesting. It is a track that is very likely to see either a virtual safety car or safety car. We've had the record number of 5 red flags here, so it can be eventful in that way. I am hoping that we will see some interesting or risky strategies by the likes of Stake, Williams, Haas, because I think for those three teams, and potentially even Alpine as well, for those three teams, certainly what we're seeing so early in the season, there's just not that much to lose. And we saw that with a few teams a couple of years ago in terms of just really responding to what they saw on the day. Obviously, we have that classic iconic story of Albon doing the very long run on his tyres in 2022, which was supported by Stroll, who was also trying to manage his tyres, and that helped, you know, Albon to stay in the points instead of dropping right to the back when he did eventually pit. So I'm hoping that we see some interesting stuff, particularly for those teams at the rear of the field. What are you hoping to see, and what are some predictions in terms of how this race might unfold, Campy?
Oh, look, traditionally this has been a pretty stock standard one stop, race for the last 4 or 5 years, which I don't love. I think I'm not sure about tyre allocation this weekend, just to get some tyre talk in for you, the fans out there. I would hope they bring the 3 softest tyres compounds, because I think the more pit stops you can induce, the more strategy comes into play at this racetrack. We've had some changes to the racetrack last year, new surfaces, etc. Interesting to see how that has changed from last year and from that new compound. So what am I predicting? I really want to see I want rain. I don't want bucketing rain, but I want enough rain for visibility to be at a minimum level, and I want enough to induce teams that they have to pit for those 2 or 3 laps before it comes back to, dry conditions. So that always throws up jeopardy. I like seeing the cars at the fastest they possibly can be in qualifying. So it's not really a prediction. It's just the dream race and how I want it to happen. So I think Danny Ric is set to perform this weekend. I think he was proper shitty after the Jeddah Grand Prix 2 weeks ago, just about the result and how the car performed. I think the way he handled the on-track performance was quite good. It was the car that they wanted to bring to Saudi, but they were a couple of weeks late. And I think it was a learning weekend for that team. He obviously had some problems, was nursing them. Don't think Yuki's much better, but I think Danny Ric is prime for a big weekend this weekend. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens, and hopefully it goes his way and he gets in the points. That's my big – I think you genuinely have pace to be in the points, and Melbourne's one of those tracks where you don't necessarily have to be a second and a half, 2 seconds faster a lap to pass somebody. It's one of those tracks where you can get a Constantina effect, not as extreme as Monaco, but, you know, a bit of a procession, more like an old style – like Istanbul or something, where it's very difficult to pass at times. So, yeah, excited for that. It'll be good. What are you looking forward to on track, Freya?
On track, like turn two, turn three is my favourite kind of spot. Either turn two, just from a visibility perspective, I think is really great if you're in a kind of if you're in the general admission area. And that was actually also the recommendation from Tom Mottram as well. For anybody who is in GA, that's a great viewing point. Go back and listen to that interview if you haven't already, because there's some other hot tips for anybody who's attending. But turn two, turn three is my favorite kind of vantage point, I think. But I just can't wait to soak up the atmosphere. I know that sounds really lame, but we are often watching these races in a, you know, location that is so far from the smells and the feelings and the atmosphere and the sounds and the people who are at races, which obviously really bring, I think, to bring it to life. Now, obviously, you're going to see more when you are at home watching it on your TV in comparison to one or two points on the track, which is kind of the payoff for going to a race, is that sometimes you don't actually get to see as much on-track action or the kind of the different battles that are taking place around the track, which can be challenging or frustrating at times, depending on if you've got a screen in front of you or what your setup is. But it's a sanitized experience when you're watching it at home, rather than having the full kind of immersion of the senses when you're actually at the race. So that's something that I'm very excited to kind of feel and just soak up is the energy and atmosphere. And obviously, no surprise to anybody, one of my favorite things is just meeting all of the people. We always meet some interesting cats when you go around and chat to people who have decided to attend a race, because it's not a small feat, right? Like it's expensive. Depending on where you live, it can be a journey. You're really committed to it, and it's something that you've probably looked forward to for some time. And it's such a small percentage of people who actually get to go to a race, which is something I think we really do think about, that when we go and meet with those people, it's you forget that how much of a special experience it is for some, and that it might be a once in a lifetime thing. It might be that one thing each year if they're more local that they get to attend. And so meeting people and hearing their stories is always my favourite thing. But of course, being there to watch the cars go around will be exceptional. Let's talk about our actual predictions, and hopefully we had some all right calls last time, but hopefully we can make some improvements.
60%
Well, hey, that's a pass in university terms. So 51% is all we're going for.
P's get degrees.
Exactly, that is the saying. We are going with our usual order of podium, 10th, last, and bold. So let's hear from you, Campy. Podium first.
Max. I can't go past Checo. That car's too good. Max, Checo, Oscar. 10th will be Lewis Hamilton. Bold prediction will be Lance Stroll takes out the pack turn one. Like does a... That'd be a
the
great
idea
result.
Of bold, Campy, is that it is something that is unlikely to happen and of which there is no precedent for. So I think you're going to have to be more extreme.
And what's the last one I'm going to go with? Last. Last place will be Sargent. No, K-Mac. No, Haas are generally good round here, so.
Make up your mind.
Ocon.
Ocon last. Okay. All right. Luckily we're not asking for a bold last prediction. I do have, as Campy mentioned, we've lost James with some connectivity issues, but I do have his predictions here. So his podium, we've got Max, Charles, and Oscar. He's got Ricardo in 10th. And then last is Ocon. So at least some of us will have that covered. And then his bold prediction is that there will be no red flags. So considering how many there were last year, that is actually fairly bold. I am going to go for, okay, so my podium is going to be, I'm going to go Perez, Alonso, and then Oscar in third. 10th, I'm going to say, 10th, I'm going to say Ricardo as well, actually. Last, I'm going to say Sergeant then. And for my bold prediction, I'm going to say that Hülkenberg finishes top six.
No, that's Danny Rick this weekend. You've missed out on that one, but that's all right. We'll forget it. He won't come 10th. He'll be top six. Can I ask you a question quickly before we move on and finish up?
Please.
Jeez, you idiot. Completely forgot it. Felipe Massa has actually launched legal action about the 2008 World Championship debacle. What are your thoughts, please, Freya? Because this one's gone under the radar and less important than the Horner sexting scandal, which is just ridiculous, and I can't believe we're still talking about it. But that is the world we live in, unfortunately, and you will not get any more commentary from us about it, I promise.
Let's just finish up with what our plan is for the weekend coming, just so you know what to expect from us here at Lakeside Drive when it comes to the Oz Grand Prix. Basically, we've got some interviews coming up, and then we're also going to be doing a short daily wrap at the end of each of the days at the Grand Prix. So we're going to get together after the race and do some short recaps about what it was like being there, people who we've spoken to, and what our takeaways are from each day attending the Grand Prix. I know this is a year that a lot of people who have usually come aren't able to make it. It's just one of those years, I think. So we will do our best to try and bring you with us when it comes to the Australian Grand Prix. So make sure you're following our Instagram. That is actually probably where we're going to be doing the most real-time updates in terms of being down the fan zone, checking out the track, and we'll be bringing you along with us from that perspective. One last thing, which is something that I'm glad it's on the notes here because I would have forgotten about it. Don't forget about Fantasy League.
Fantasy League.
So I will be doing that very shortly. Campy, have you done yours yet?
Well, I had to do it when I was hosting last week. I had to sign in, log in to find some names that I liked. So I've got a team.
I wasn't talking about logging in. I was talking about doing your team for this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's locked in for the rest of the year now, so I'm not changing it. I refuse to get back on that website. It's horrendous, especially on my phone.
It is a terrible platform. All right. Well, we won't ask you about that anymore. But for everybody else who is in Fantasy League, make sure you get in there, take a look at some of the names, which are absolutely fantastic. And we'll be also finding some of our favourite contributions to our various social platforms. So Discord, Instagram, and of course those Fantasy League team names. Make sure you get those in, and we will be bringing as much of that as we can to the podcast. Campy, I'll see you in a couple of days.
You will. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great week. Exciting. If you see us, please come and say hi. As we said, we'll be at the Coppersmith at various stages throughout the Thursday through to Sunday. Depending on what happens with our passes, right? Who knows? It's all up in the air at the moment. We may be watching the race at the pub with you on Sunday. So it's great. Come in, have a chat. I'll shout you a beer and we'll have a good time. Looking forward to it.
Sounds great. All right, I'll see you in a few days, Campy, and listeners, we will be in your ears in the coming days. But thanks for listening, and that's it for our race preview for the Australian Grand Prix.
Very good.
James's like notes here, literally like dot points. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you were going to say about local press getting into F1, so I'm not talking about it or anything else. So I'm flying by the seat of my pants here, Campy. Sports Social Podcast Network.